Everything that happens, the bad, the good, God is taking all of that, every single detail within the outstretched, encompassing arms of His work and directing providence to accomplish His will.
Welcome to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and Don is continuing our series, Now We Thank Our God, with part two of a message titled, Meaningful Thanksgiving. Last time, Don gave us three reasons to be people of gratitude, all focused on our Lord, the person of God, the kingdom of God, and the providence of God. Don will add three more reasons today, as prompted by the Lord's Prayer. So turn again in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, and let's join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
When you became a Christian, when God brought you to faith in Christ, God expanded His spiritual kingdom. As we go about the business of the gospel and we see other sinners coming to faith in Christ, we see God expanding His spiritual kingdom. And those who once were in darkness are now in light. Those who were facing judgment now have a coming expectation of blessedness and being glorified in the presence of Christ. And that's what belongs to us as Christians, is that we have been transferred from the domination of Satan into the lordship of Christ, brought out of a dark kingdom into a kingdom of light, brought out of slavery, brought into true spiritual freedom, out of guilt into righteousness and forgiveness. What a great, unspeakable, uncountable blessing God has given us in our salvation. Thy kingdom come. When God saved us, His kingdom came to us personally. And so, your salvation and the salvation of those that you love who are in Christ should be central to your gratitude. Oh God, you are a king, and you have extended the blessings of your kingdom to me and to those that I love as well. God, I am so thankful that you have made your kingdom known. Here, spiritually, now, then, coming in the future with Christ. God, there is just such an unfolding majesty to the grandeur of your kingdom, and I share in that. You've brought me into that. Oh God, I'm so thankful to you. I am so thankful to you as a manner and as a pattern of life. God, you are who you are. Thank you. God, your kingdom come. It will come. It has come. God, thank you. And so, what I want you to see is there's a responsive nature to gratitude, isn't there? And gratitude and thanksgiving start with a recognition outside of us of who God is and what He has done, and we're giving thanks in response to that. And what He has done is beyond comprehension. And it makes us grateful. Now, thirdly, said the person of God, the kingdom of God. Let's give thanks, thirdly, as we follow the pattern of Jesus' prayer, for the providence of God. The providence of God. Look at verse 10 again. Verse 10, Jesus said, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, we've alluded often to the providence of God in our teaching. The Bible says that God works all things after the counsel of His will. Your worst mistakes, your sins, your sorrows, your good times, your good decisions, your bad decisions, the good political leaders, the bad political leaders, everything that happens, the bad churches you've been exposed to, the good experiences that you've had in church. God is taking all of that, all of the details of that, all of the relational sorrows, all of the relational joys. God is taking all of that, every single detail within the outstretched, encompassing arms of His work and directing providence to accomplish His will, and in a way that Romans 8:28 says, works out that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. The trials that are just on your doorstep, that you're about to bring into your life because you can't avoid them, all of this comes under the umbrella of the providence of God. And this does remarkable things to quell the roaring, tumultuous seas of anxiety in your heart. God is over it all. God is directing it all. It's not just that He permits it. It's that He uses it. He brings these things to pass in order to accomplish long-term good and benefit to His glory and for our good. Scripture teaches us that God is at work in absolutely everything that happens, and that He directs all creatures and events to accomplish His purposes. Well, look, beloved, in the context of what we're talking about, as we're talking about being thankful to God, this just opens up a panorama of gratitude if you will take a biblical view of God. If you will take a high view of God, whether life has seemed good or bad, easy or hard, God is accomplishing His will. And for the Christian who is handed over, who has submitted his life to the Lordship of Christ, for a Christian who by definition is someone who prefers the glory of God to life itself, by definition, that's what a Christian is. If that's who we are, and our God is accomplishing what He desires, and somehow He manages to work all of this together for our good in the end, then we should be a grateful, thankful people. And what I want you to see is that gratitude is theologically informed. It's not just that we're thankful because there's a bare command to be thankful, and we have to be thankful whether we feel like it or not. Our gratitude is going to be deepened. Our gratitude is going to be in measure by the view of God that we bring to the table with it. And when we receive the teaching of Scripture and we have a high view of the power and the wisdom and the majesty and the sovereignty of God, when you have a high view of that, then you view everything through a different lens, and you can find that you have the capacity to give thanks in everything, as 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, the only way that you can have that perspective is by having a high view of God. Jesus says, you pray, God, your will be done. And it's not so much that He won't do His will unless we ask. And if we don't ask, Satan's will gets done in the end, or something else like that. Rather, it's an expression of submission. As we pray this way, we are aligning ourselves with the purposes of God and say, God, I prefer what Your will is over what I think my will is. And when we pray that way, when we view God that way, we have the rich soil for a thankful heart to grow in. The person of God, the kingdom of God, the providence of God. This is utterly all-encompassing. In everything that we see, there is reason for thanks. Now, fourthly, we're obviously just skimming the surface here. Fourthly, we thank God for the provision of God. Look at verse 11, where Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. And we're reminded through this text that God blesses us materially as well as spiritually. When Jesus says, ask for your daily bread, it's about asking more than the product of yeast and flour. It's a term that refers to our daily necessities. And as we're thinking in terms of gratitude, it's a reminder that everything that we have comes from God's hand. That God has blessed us with almost without exception in this room. I don't want to say too much. I never want to presume too much. But almost everyone in this room is warm and to one manner or another well fed. Well, We're grateful for that. We remember that. We step out of the realm of those who take those things for granted, who just assume them, as it's easy to do when our pantries are full and there's enough money in the checking account for what we need next. Well, we step out of that assumption and presumption and recognize that this comes from the hand of the blessing of God. And God, as we feel the warmth, as we are satisfied in the realm of our bellies, so to speak, God, I remember that this is a blessing from you. I thank you for it. And there's just this pervasive submission and gratitude and a sense of dependence that looks at the hand of God and says, God, I see your hand all around me. I see your provision just abundantly everywhere I turn. God, you've given to me here and here and there. God, thank you. You are so good to me. And I give thanks. From your family to your finances to your future, God has provided for you. God will provide for you in a way that meets your needs. And even, I think it's good to talk about this in advance. Even when the hour of death comes for us, if that's a conscious moment for us or not, even in that final hour, we will find, without fail, that God is being gracious to us even then. So that even at that end of life moment, there will be no cause for fear. God will not abandon us in that hour. He will be faithful to us even then. And there will be praise on our lips even then as we cultivate this gratitude in our lives now when death seems remote. And so from beginning to end and beyond into the realm of heaven after we die, every need possible, conceivable, God is supplying. And so we just step back and we want to look at these things from the big picture perspective. The person of God, who He is, the kingdom of God. He will intervene in the world, and He's intervening now spiritually, and we enjoy the blessings of that. Every detail of life that happens, He is working out for our good. And He's directing it in a way that takes the pressure off us, and we don't have to worry about it. We can just trust Him. And in the process, He's meeting even the daily physical needs that we have. Oh, it's very humbling. It's very encouraging. It's a blessing to think on these things and to realize that, contrary to where our flesh will sometimes take us when life seems adverse, contrary to that spirit of grumbling and complaining that we all fall into to one extent or another, We step out of that, we look at the reality of it and say, Lord, my grumbling and my complaining attitude are all wrong. I reject that, Lord. I repent of that. It is wrong for me to have a grumbling, complaining heart, my God, in light of who you are and what you've done. God, I'm grateful. And then our eyes are lifted up to this reminder in front of us of the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf, and it's taken to a whole nother realm as well. Lord, it's not just that you give us good things in life. You laid down your life and spilled out your blood for the salvation of my soul as a substitute lamb sacrificed on my behalf. And when I came to you and put my faith in you, you were a perfect and complete Savior for all of eternity on my behalf. And Lord, now you've ascended into heaven where you intercede for us, for me, by name, my name carried into heaven on the tablet of your heart. And you intercede for me before the Father, day by day by day, moment by moment, without ceasing, my name is named in the throne room of God. Wow. Let that sink in. That not only do we not live in a random universe, not only are we not going to be judged for our sins, But we are on the receiving end of just unspeakable blessing that goes into the very throne room of God itself. All purchased for us at the cost of the perfect lifeblood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd say we've got reason to be thankful, don't you? We see also in Jesus' prayer the pardon of God. The pardon of God. Look at verse 12. Jesus says, pray in this way, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And as we've alluded earlier, as we talked about the kingdom of God, Jesus teaches us to make prayer a matter of addressing the spiritual side of life as well. It's not simply a matter of what our physical needs might be or our medical needs and those horizontal things that God cares about and provides for and orders for us, but there's another dimension, a more critical dimension that God has provided for us in Christ. He has provided for the forgiveness of our sins. In a once and for all fashion, He has wiped sin off of our slate and imputed righteousness to us so that we have a perfect legal standing before God. We are justified before Him, declared righteous so that no accusation can successfully be lodged against us in the courtroom of heaven. And at the same time, and as what Jesus is referring to more specifically here, is that forgiveness that God grants on an ongoing basis in our daily lives to restore the joy of our fellowship with Him. When you bring your guilty conscience before God today, tonight, as a Christian, and lay it before Him, Lord, I confess this sin or that sin. I confess that my thoughts were wicked, that my words were harsh, that my conduct was wrong and in violation of your law. And we humble ourselves like that before God. We don't meet with a God, figuratively speaking, who has his arms folded across his chest and say, what do you have to say for yourself? Some of you had parents like that. Now what do you have to say for yourself? And it's very cold and isolating and remote. With God, as a Christian, when we come confessing like that, we come in the Spirit knowing that the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. We're tied right back to where we opened up, that God forgives transgression, iniquity, and sin. And that we have the privilege as Christians to walk through this life with a conscious sense of sins forgiven, of a clear conscience, of fellowship and reconciliation with God. That is our birthright. That is our privilege as Christians. That is what Christ in part died to purchase for us. All at His gracious initiative, all beyond our possible deserving. And we contemplate those things without a sense of, not in a sense that we're scolded into responding to them, but the warmth of the love of God, the grace of God, the incalculable mercy of God draws us, and with warm, loving, heartfelt gratitude, we say, God, thank you for that too. You have forgiven all my sins. You have washed away my guilt. Taking it as far as the east is from the west. Taken my sins and buried them in the bottom of the sea, where I don't have to relive the shame and the guilt of it anymore. I don't have to fear the judgment of God for it anymore, because the judgment was paid at the cross. And God, you have forgiven all of my sins. Lord, thank you for that too. I would ask you to consider, especially in the moments when we're waiting for the elements to be served, to ask yourself whether you take that aspect of salvation for granted. Does that ever seem to get stale to you? It never should. The forgiveness of your sins should always be fresh in power to you. Forgiveness is a profound matter for thanks. It is the basis upon which you can look to eternity with confidence and not with fear. that your heart can triumph over the prospect of the grave because death has lost its sting, because Christ paid the price of death at the cross for you. God, thank you. God, we're so grateful. Well, finally, we give thanks for the protection of God. The protection of God. We've said, as we've walked through this prayer, we've spoken about thankfulness for the person of God, the kingdom of God, the providence of God, the provision of God, the pardon of God. Now, the protection of God. Look at verse 13 with me. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hasn't God brought you through trials in the past? Hasn't He brought you through times of temptation, times of discouragement? Hasn't He directed your steps into realms where you're able to obey Him, into realms where you can know Him? Hasn't He protected your life from sins that you might have pursued if you were left to yourself? Haven't there been times where you found your steps directed into obedience when your heart inclinations would have taken you into sin? This is all the protection of God, the spiritual protection of God. And we thank Him for that too. And we thank Him not only that He's done it in the past, we thank Him with a sense of confidence and gratitude that He's going to continue to do that in the future. And so this prayer lays out for us that Jesus has taught here. This prayer lays out for us such an immeasurable breadth and depth and height to the work and the activity and the person and character and the loving kindness of God. And we see as we contemplate these things that God has undertaken at His own gracious initiative to provide for everything that we need all the way until we're secure with Him in the palaces of glory. God, we thank you. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. It's grace that's brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Bow with me in prayer. Father, your character, your kingdom, your providence and your provision and your forgiveness and your protection are simply an ocean depth of reasons to give thanks to you. And Father, we've treated these things lightly, simply, briefly here by way of reminder, by way of stimulating us, stimulating the redeemed heart to remember what you've done for us and how you have displayed yourself to us. And we're so grateful, we're so thankful for that, Father. And so as we gather together as the people of God here on a week devoted to a spirit of thanksgiving, Lord, we remember and we give you thanks. Father, we especially thank you that you have rescued us from the penalty and the power of sin in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you showed mercy to us while we were enemies. You forgave all of our sins. You brought us into your family. And we have a place in heaven reserved especially for us, as it were, with a gold-plated nameplate waiting for us to sit at the table in the presence of our King. Lord Jesus, all of that purchased at the cost of your blood. We enjoy this salvation. We enjoy this position of privilege and protection, Lord Jesus, because you poured out your blood to satisfy the wrath of God against our sins. And we gratefully remember you who delivered us from sin as we do. Bless us now as we obey your command to remember you at the table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green fleshed out why the providence of God is one major reason to give thanks. To that, he added the provision of God, the pardon of God, and finally, the protection of God. Maybe we should write them all down in large letters and post them on our bulletin boards, Don.
Well, Bill, that would certainly be one way to do it, I guess, wouldn't it? To have notes around to remind us, and that would be helpful. But my friend, I would encourage you to go even beyond that and to impress these kinds of things deeply in your heart. If you are a Christian, remember the things that are true about your condition, that God chose you for salvation before the foundation of the world, that 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ willingly gave his life to pay for your sins, that at your conversion, the Holy Spirit came to indwell you. And now you have the gift of heaven waiting for you at the end of your earthly life. Oh, my friend, there is so much for us to be thankful for, to give God thanks for. And that's before we even look around and see the blessings of family and food and other things that he's given us in a material sense. I trust this week that your heart is filled to overflowing with gratitude to God. And if you don't know Christ, that you would seek this wonderful Savior in his word.
Thanks, Don. And friend, we again invite you to visit us at thetruthpulpit.com for more information about this ministry. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit.